The sugya which we're going to deal with today, okay, is the topic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing his mind and how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing his mind. Okay, now with the short time that we have, about a half hour, I'm going to establish the gvulot, the delineations of what we're going to be dealing with. We're not going to be dealing with the philosophical issue, what it means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change his mind, or to more specifically, what it means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be affected by things which go on. Okay, that's an important discussion, and that's a discussion in general, which comes into the general discussion of anthropomorphism and how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at what he's created and regretting things, or meaning we have sometimes where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind even, but he expresses a regret for something he's done. So that's a totally different philosophical machshava discussion, or possibly a pshat discussion about what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rethinks something or relates to something which he's done or relates to something which is happening. That's not really what we're going to deal with today. What we're going to deal with today is all sorts of lashonos or situations where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to change his mind, seemed to be leading things in one direction, and then he changes things to another direction. And what I'm going to deal with is not so much the philosophical side, even though we're going to have to touch on that in order to know how to relate to it, but really, from our perspective, how do we relate to those two situations? Okay, now let me give an example. And from this, I bring a few psukim. But we have three different categories of scenarios when HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to have things leading in one direction, and then he changes to a different direction. Okay, I'm going to take both extremes at first. Okay, one extreme is where it's within the context of Schar V'Onesh. Let's say, for example, in the Psukim in Shmuel, when there's a situation of where Ki'ilu, the Melucha was supposed to go through Shaul, and then Shaul was Chote, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the process that now it's no longer going to go through Shaul. So, or a situation of Yonah, okay? And there we see the Lashon in the Pasuk of V'lo Yinachem ki lo Adam hu lihinachem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not revert back. He doesn't change his mind, okay? That's one type of changing mind, which is similar to something we see by Yonah, where Yonah is expecting a certain gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm going to change it to something else. Or a situation of where Avram Avinu is mitpalel for something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes some sort of gzera, and then something happens from our side, whether it's a tefillah, whether it's a chet, whether it's tshuva, something happens on our side, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the path. That's the first category, and that really is a category which I don't think we can consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing his mind as much as a category of HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabling Schar V'Onesh. There's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain path which is going, but we can affect that path by either ruining it with a certain onesh, as we see by Shaul, or by reverting it with a certain path, which we see either by Avram Avinu being mitpalel, or by Yonah, by the city of Nineveh doing tshuva. That's one example, that's one category of HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing a path, but that's not what we're going to deal with, because that really doesn't create such a machshava challenge. Now we're going to have on the total opposite side of the spectrum, are examples in Chazal, or in Torah, where we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed a path, and there was nothing obvious which happened in the middle to change that path. For example, when Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with din, but then he chose and changed that. Before Briyas HaOlam, before he met us, he changed that to instead create the world with rachamim. Or a situation where we explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu, in his first machshava, was going to create man and woman as one creation, as one being. And then as the creation develops, or as we get closer to that actual creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually creates it in a different way. There, clearly, we can't talk about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the process out of a response to Schar Va'onesh, out of a response to the world playing this game, if you may say, or playing by the rules of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, and then we do something else, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to that, whether it's our tefillah, whether it's our tshuva, whether it's our chataim. But there seems to be some sort of structure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is one place which we have to ask. What does that mean that Hashem wanted to do something and then changed his mind? Okay? The third, which is going to be a little bit more complicated and a little bit more common, is a situation which is going to be most of our cases, a situation of, let's say, Adam lifnei achet va'adam la'achar achet. Okay? That the world worked a certain way before Chet Adam Arishon. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly according to the Pshat, changed the nature to work in a different way with the Bezeas HaPecha Tochalachem, or with the Isha and the Tzaras HaLeida, or even Al Derech Machshavah in the Rambam, of placing a different role of Yetzer Hara in a different way. But Hashem didn't simply give an Onesh there, but seem to have changed the nature of things. Let's give another example. According to the understanding of Chazal, of certain Perushim, that before Chet HaEgel, we were supposed to, the Avodah and the Mikdash was supposed to be done by way of the Bechorim, that each family was supposed to have someone who was Miuchad and special for the Avodah. And then after Chet HaEgel, the system was changed that it was now going to shift over to the Levim. Or the situation of Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shnios. That there was Luchos Rishonos which were given, which were all, which were purely Ruchnios, purely Maaseh Hashem, purely in a state of Kedusha. And then after Chet HaEgel, there was now a new presentation of Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in, and certainly Al Yedei Chazal, a new type of, or certainly, whether it's Midrashei Chazal or Achronim, not just that Moshe was involved in, but it changed the way that we interact with Torah, that there's an element of Torah Shebaal Peh, that man is part of the Masorah and part of the production of that Torah. Now, those fit into a very middle type of scheme, in the sense that it was certainly a response. It's certainly more similar to the first category, to something like Schar Va'onesh, in the sense that it was a response to something we did on the one hand. On the other hand, it wasn't simply an Onesh, and an Onesh to that person, but it was something which really, it almost as if is presented as if there's a new way that things have to go, that things have to work. It's not even clear to us that Luchos Rishonos is better for us than Luchos Shnios, in the sense that it's an Onesh, but there is a presentation that after Chet HaEgel, we need a different type of Torah. Now, the Radak over there in Shmuel, when discussing the concept of Lo Yinachem, Ki Lo Adam Hu Lihinachem, that Hashem does not, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to back out of promises, and he's not going to change things. So the Radak there makes a clear distinction and says there's a very big distinction between an onesh for a yachid, where he has a specific havdacha for something, or when he does something wrong and he loses something, and something which deals with a promise to Klal Yisrael, where Hashem is not going to change the way that Klal Yisrael works because of Schar Va'onesh. Okay, and we'll see this a little bit in the Ramchal. Okay? Now, our question, which we're going to deal with, which is for us to deal with, because it's much more, as we'll see, it's much more, it's most common, the most common scenario, and the most complicated scenario, is this third one. How do we view the transition from Luchos Rishonos to Luchos Shnios? Or Adam Lifnei Achet to Adam Achar Achet? Or the switch from Bechor to Levim. Is that a switch which we go from a good situation to a bad situation? Or is that a situation where a Kadosh Baruch Hu in some way, okay, takes us, changes his mind, or presents a changing of mind that there is some system which is better for us? Okay, I'd like to couch it a little bit in a classic or a very controversial machlokas, which was out there. It was a very controversial article which was written, or Dvar Torah, which was written about a few years ago by a personality who, in dealing with this issue or bringing up this issue of Hashem changing his mind or realizing his mistakes. So a certain Rav, I assume, partly for the effect, but also presented the fact that, you know what, those weren't the only mistakes that Hashem made. There's a lot more mistakes that Hashem made, and I'm going to suggest the mistakes that Hashem made, and I have confidence that we're in that middle stage right now, where Hashem presented the world in one way, whether it was in terms of Mishkav Zachar, whether it was in terms of role of women, whether it was in terms of the relationship we have with Umas Olam, and he was confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented it one way. Now we're in that middle stage, where we're in that middle stage, and Hashem will change his mind, and we will come to a point where Hashem changes his mind and presents things in a different way and says, okay, we're no longer doing it that way. Now, I'm not going to get to the hashkafic. I'm not going to deal right now with the hashkafic or machshava aspect of the presumptuousness of suggesting what God's mistakes were. Okay? What I do want to do, though, is just even look at that model. The model that Maimer is presenting is that there was some original presentation. Okay, if we can take Luchos, Rishonos Luchos Shnios as a model, there was some original presentation which was ideal and suggestive, and then he brings it into the world and wants to show us why it's really not ideal. And then finally, we will end up at a state which is the second state, which is really the perfect state. Okay? That, for example, if we were to take Luchos Rishonos, or let's take the case of Bechorim and Levim, okay? That really, maybe we would have thought that it was best to have someone from each family, but now he brings that model into the world, and we are shown why it doesn't work well, and now finally we will end up by that perfect state of Machshava Shnia, where finally, this is the way it's supposed to be, that there's a separate group, which is the Levim. Or originally we thought that we wanted a state of Kulo Kedusha, which we were not involved in and was handed to us. And then he brings that into this world. We see that that's not really good for us. And we end up in that perfect situation of where we are really involved in it, and that the world is really better at Luchos Shnios. Okay? And take that type of, that's one type of way that we relate to let's say, Machshava Rishona, Machshava Shnia. Another type of example, even though it might not be a perfect example, is the example of, let's say, Bezeh HaSapecha Tocha Lachem. We know that the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim presents the second state of Adam La'achar Achet, of Bezeh HaSapecha Tocha Lachem, is really, really the first stage was ideal, but either because we messed it up in that situation, or in other situations, even if it wasn't a chet, but malasot, we're in an imperfect physical world. And so what can we do? In this world, we have no choice but to be in the second state. But that's not the ideal state, and that's not something we're happy about. Okay? That's another type of approach. Okay? And these are two basic, and therefore the Ramchal says, certainly Bezeh HaSapecha Tocha Lachem is certainly not something we're happy about. It's certainly something which we wish we weren't in. Okay? So here we have two different type of models of relating to Machshava Rishona, Machshava Shnia. One is a model of, really, the second is ideal, but we needed to learn that. One is that, really, the first is ideal, but we're not up to it. And the second approach is that the first Havamina was really ideal, but we weren't up to it. Okay? I want to present a third approach. Yes?
Is
Hold on. Yeah. So I'm going to suggest that not, because we have other examples. For example, let's take the example of Adam and of Ish v'Isha as created together originally, or at least a thought of creating them together, and then really creating them separately. Okay, and there. Even though we don't really dream for a reality of where we physically can come together, but it's possible, and we'll see in the Ramchal, maybe there is a process of where in reality we do try to head towards the direction of the firstborn. Okay, so too, let's say with the Bechorim, it's possible that it's true we can't revert back to a system of Bechorim completely, and we can't uproot the halachic mitzvahs, but it is possible that our direction, the direction of our avodah, is certainly to create more of a focus and a reality of where there still is conceptually a responsibility within each unit. Okay, and the same thing with luchos rishonos, luchos shnios. Maybe there is a goal, even though we can't really recreate luchos rishonos. But maybe there is a concept of where we use machshava shniya, the second state, not as an end point, but as a starting point where we head in the direction of machshava rishona. Okay? Even though it's true that we can't really recreate it, either physically or in some form, like, because physically we can't or halachically we can't. Okay? Okay. I want to look at the Ramchal. And it's going to be interesting because I just presented the Ramchal Masil Zasharim as seemingly taking one of the sides, okay? But that might just be how he deals with Chet Adam Arishon. But I want to look at him in general, okay? In terms of the discussion in the Ramchal of why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't milchatchila create us in a state of perfection? Why didn't he just give us perfection, okay? Wouldn't it have been better for him just to give us perfection? Okay? If I can start before that with one more, again, not anecdotal, but it said that a Masora, which is had in the name of Chaim Avalazhin, okay, of where when coming to even the question of creating the world with Din and the world with Rachamim, okay, whereas we see Rachamim as very often a more ideal state, the Rav Chaim Avalazhin was known to have said that really ideally our dream is a dream of din. Our dream is a dream that we get to a point where we really earn everything we have, where nothing we're gaining is out of rachmin. Okay? Now we don't have confidence in ourselves and therefore we ask for a state of rachmin, but our dream and a desire is that the perfect world is that everything we have we really genuinely deserve and is not coming because of Matnas Chesed. Okay? So let me walk into the Ramchal a little bit. Okay? We're going to start on Kuf Samechei. Ikar Nivraim Am Yisrael Ha'adam Alul Yot HaShafel Biyoter Ve'achol La'asig Et Rom Hamalot. Hine Ikar HaNivraim Hu Ha'adam V'Ikar Ha'adam Knesset Yisrael U'Kvar Amru Zichrono Levracha מלאכי השרס יושבים מבחוץ וישראל מבפנים. דכסיב, כעת יאמר ליעקב ולישראל מה פעל כל. Okay? Both the Yerushalmi and the Gemara Nedarim say that really the greater creation between the Malachim and Yisrael, the greater creation is Yisrael. ואומנם צריכים אנו להבחין באדם שתי בחינות הפכיות שיש לו. Bnei Adam have two opposite aspects in them. V'uma she'amru zocha omrim lo ata kadamta lechol ma'aseh bereshit, lo zocha omrim lo yatush kadmecha. If you If you were Zoche, if you are worthy, then you are the first and the primary of all creations. And if you are not Zoche, then you are standing in line behind the mosquito. Okay? We know this is expressed very clearly, as the Rav points out, in Tehillim Perek Chet, right? Ma enosh ki tizkereno ven adam ki tifkedeno. But on the other side, further on, we say amat me elokim hu. Okay, that our potential, okay, either potential or in the Rav's sake, the two things happening concurrently is we are both at the same time. It's a little bit different than the Ramchal. But let's go a little bit further. V'zeh she'en yesh bria kol kach alula l'ra'a kemo adam. She'esh be'efsharut lachto v'lamrod chas v'shalom. V'yeter lev ha'adam ramen urov. Ma she'en ken l'shum bria acheret. We are the only creation with a yetzer, which can be, so we are the only ones who can be chote, who can sin. Ach mitzad acher, k'shuhu nitkan v'nishlam, hu mitnasel l'chol rosh. When he fixes himself, he is the highest being. V'lo magia, hitabek bo yitbarach shemo. And when he fixes that which is faulty in him, he deserves to be closest to Hashem. V'chol shar b'riyot tluyim bo. Everything else is dependent on man. Kema'amram shizacharnu l'mala, like we said before. V'chein amru al Yisrael shem kikochvei ha'shamayim u'ka'afar ha'aretz l'rom u'la'omek. Okay? Now, okay. V'aynu ki be'emet gazra chachma elyona la'asot mitziyut ha'adam l'fi amitat inyanei nechbad v'na'ale me'od. Really, in its original gezeira, in its real thought, the thought was to create man in its total completeness, in its total truth, according to complete truth at its highest level. Ela shishpilo tchila kedei shishlot bo hara hazeh. Ubizman shu shafel, hu shafel mikol anivraim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create some sort of perfect setting, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him down. Shesholet bora, she'eno sholet b'kol b'riyah acheret. He brought him down to a point that there's ra there, which is not found anywhere else. Ach kishikvar nitkan v'nishlam, chuzar legove yakar inyanei ha-ba'emet, inyano ba'emet. Va'az hu nisa v'ne'elam min hakol. V'olel madriga she'en shum echad min hanivroim magialo. Man has a certain idyllic state, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally drew him back, and now as he comes closer to that original state, he becomes higher even than things which were at that original state. Let's remember the first comparison was to the Malachim. The Malachim, which were static and have no Yetzer Hara, do not compete to a man which has completed himself. Okay, and we don't have time to read the continuation. Okay, but that similar concept which he proceeds with is that man is grander. We know this from the Maseilas Yesharim also. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically created a world which has a certain ideal, and that ideal state is not the starting point, but rather he pulls us back. And we gain Kedusha by reattaining that original or coming close to that original state. And what we attain on our own is greater than what we're handed. Okay? We know this from the Michtav Me'eliyahu in Kuntres HaBechira. Okay? Where the schar that we get or the Kedusha which is produced is only the Kedusha which is produced by us, and not the state which we are found in. Okay? Now, when we take this idea back into the concept of Machshava Rishona, Machshava Shnia, so certainly let's start with the cases of where we were not involved at all. Let's say Din and Rachamim. Okay? Or the situation of Ish ve'Isha. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents us a certain model of where we say, okay, this is a certain conceptual endpoint which you're ending to, but the Bria works in such a way that you have to get there. Kedusha is created by you getting there. So let me pull you back and walk forward towards that state. Okay? Now, also in the same thing as the way that Ravolbi explains in terms of Bezeasa Pechatochalachim, I create you in a certain state where ideally you are doing things for the purpose of La'avdo L'shomra, totally for intrinsic reasons. Okay? But now I, after Chet Adam Arishon, I change the nature that I pull you back, and now you have to get there. You have to get to a point where you do things purely for their intrinsic value. Okay? Or let's take the examples of, let's say, Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shnios, where Chazal say, it's a great midrash, Chazal say that the Karnei Or, which were there by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Luchos Shnios, were there not by Luchos Rishonos, because they stemmed from, it's easier to visualize it than it is to, they were there from Moshe Rabbeinu wiping his brow of the leftover ink, okay, which metaphorically is, okay, the Karnei Or, the brightness, the glow of Moshe Rabbeinu came from the process of him being involved in the Avodah, which anyone who's Osek in Limud Torah Be'ion can appreciate the difference between being involved in that process or being handed that process, or which is exactly what we describe in terms of at least the midrash of learning Kol HaTorah Kulo beforehand in the womb, in the rechem, as a certain model to get to, and then being pulled back to Luchos Shnios and says, okay, now get there. Okay? Now, I know I have to finish up now, so just finishing up with in general, here we have a concept of how we look at any type of imperfect state which a Kadosh Baruch Hu placed us in. Okay, let's say we're sitting in an imperfect state. So the first model of how we looked at it, let's say, of where within Machshava Rishon and Machshava Shnia. Okay, let's say I'll start with the second. Okay, it's more logically, progresses more logically. Okay, you could look at that as, you know, let's say you leave the Beis Medrash for walking outside the Beis Medrash. So you could look at that as, you know, really ideally, inside the Beis Medrash is ideal. And malasot, we live in a physical world, we live in a bidyeved world where we can't live in the Beis Medrash. Okay? So we live in a bidyeved world. Okay? That's one option. Option number two, okay, similar to the Ma'amar we saw before, is no, Machshava Shnia is really ideal. Okay? I want to show you some certain model of a Beis Medrash, and then I want you to see that's not the real world. You leave the Beis Medrash for the real world. The real world is outside. The third model which we talk about is something very different. It's where we create some sort of ground for establishing certain ideals and direction and say, okay, that concept of Kedusha is where we're aiming to. But the Chachma is not to be placed in a state of Kedusha, but to build Kedusha. Now we walk out of the Beis Medrash and we say, ideally, we're in a state where we have to build Kedusha, where we now take the concepts and say, now let us build Kedusha and aim in the direction of Kedusha. From that point, it's not a B'dievet situation. It's the ideal setting to work on building the Kedusha. Okay? Now, obviously, it doesn't have to be, it can be any situation which we don't have control of. And we're in a situation, do we approach it with a Tov Malasot, I'm in a B'dievet world? Or do I approach it from, okay, this is the state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled me back to, now let me walk forward and build from here. Okay, whether it's personal challenges, say, okay, so I'm messed up. Or do we say, okay, this midah is the place, or this character is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled me back. This is the area for me to walk forward towards Machshava Rishona. Okay? I'm going to close up from here with saying there's obviously a lot more involved in this. Certainly on the Machshava level, when we get into that concept of philosophically, what does it mean by Hashem to be affected by things which happen in this world? What does it mean for Hashem to change his mind? What does it mean for him to regret things which he's done? But certainly in terms of the model which the Ramchal sets up of the fact that there is a concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu presenting an ideal, but ideally pulling back from it and saying, now the ideal Metzias is for you to head back towards the direction of Machshava Rishona, even though it's not something which can physically or halachically necessarily be completely attained. Same model which we see by Ish V'Isha, where we are two physically different beings, but we certainly try to head back towards a Shutfus, where at least metaphorically and conceptually, we try to head back to one being of a Shutfus, and not just not just two people working together. Bezrat Hashem, that should be a koach and be helpful as we go weiter, and I hope it adds a little bit on the Numkud of Machshava, and Bezrat Hashem will continue another time.